Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
On Twitter, at Rich Cioli. I'm looking at this, Matt DeSantis, and Portnoy gave Giordano's, which you had the other day, an 8.4. Do you agree with that, 8.4?
No, that seems a little high. I thought it was good, but an 8.4 is a little lofty. I'd say it's more suited for the 7 range.
More
low
for the 7 range.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at some of his reviews here. Nothing pops. And there's a lot of just bready, gross looking, you know. I mean, I don't know. Some of these places aren't even like cracking the 8s. Yeah. A lot of 7s.
Again, it's good, but it just, I kind of agree with you. It just is not pizza.
It's not pizza.
It's
right?
Sort of like its own standalone thing. It's tasty because, again, what's not to like about a bunch of cheese, a bunch of melty cheese, and buttery bread?
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah.
Empty carbs. Empty carbs are always delicious. It's a rule.
I guess.
I did get vegetables in there, though, so I was a little health conscious.
You got vegetables in? You think that makes it up for the 18 pounds of dough?
I think there are like 4 mushrooms in the entire pizza.
All right. Well, to answer Mama Zioli's question, I have not had a Chicago hot dog yet. I'm hoping to get one at some point, but we're here at the United Center, and the hot dog place is not open yet, so I can't get it. And then when the show's over tonight at 7 p.m. your time, 6 p.m. my time, I'm going to run. We try to run out the door. It's like a cartoon character where you just see the, like, you know what I mean, like the dust behind them and psh, out. That's sort of how I approach the convention. There's an exit right over there. And I'm going to just hit that exit and psh, out as soon as possible. Welcome back. Glad you're here today. I was mentioning to you before the break, and by the way, we've got a big show still to come. Alina Haba, who is Trump's attorney, is going to be on the show. Congressman Byron Donalds is going to be here as well. So I'm very, very excited for the show that we have for you. But again, no Democrat surrogates will come on my show. No one. We even asked the Lieutenant Governor of Pennsylvania to come on. They offered him to us. We said, yes, let's have him on. I was going to ask the question respectfully. How can you be certain, since the governor of Pennsylvania, Josh Shapiro, who was not picked to be on the ticket because he's Jewish, supports fracking, how Kamala Harris actually really does believe no longer in ending fracking, because we have not heard her say it. But the lieutenant governor bailed, and he won't come on the show either. So there you go. No one will come on the show. Cowards. They're all cowards. Anyway, this is David Axelrod on CNN talking about how if the election were held today, Donald Trump would win. Andrew, I believe we have the audio ready to go.
Some time. Look, she has made extraordinary progress. We were all in Milwaukee a month ago, and, you know, there was euphoria there and a sense that this race was over, that they were going to win by a landslide, perhaps sweep in big majorities in the House and Senate. And things have changed dramatically. But this is still a very competitive race. If the election were today, I'm not sure who would win. And I think it may well be President Trump, because it's an electoral college fight.
Right.
And in those battleground states.
Yeah, we were looking at national numbers
right
at the top of this program. That's, I mean, it's misleading.
And I've said several times here that, you know, for a Democrat to win those battleground states, they have to have a significant lead in the Electoral College. Remember, Joe Biden won by 7 million votes nationally last time, and a margin of 45,000 votes or 44,000 votes in the 3 closest battleground states combined. So she's right to be telling people it's good to be enthusiastic. That enthusiasm is really, really important for the Democratic Party, but you have to turn that into energetic action in order to win the election. I think that's going to be part of what you hear here.
It's a problem for him in the battleground states. What he means is states like Pennsylvania, all right, where you've got a candidate who said she wanted to end fracking and a running mate of that candidate who is so anti-energy. Even the far right-wing Washington Post had to call them out on it and say that this is a problem for them. And don't forget their economic policies. You know, the price gauging controls that she wants to put in place. She called the price gauging. You've had CNN, MSNBC, or excuse me, the Washington Post, Axios, Time, a bunch of other sites all come out and say why this would not work. Former Obama economist coming out and saying it. So it's going to be a battle for them, no doubt about that. And, I mean, Axelrod is right. I think if the election were held today, Trump wins. I think if the election's held in November, Trump still wins. I really do. I feel confident. That doesn't mean they're not going to try to cheat. And that's what we have to be very, very concerned about, no question about it. And so what they want to do is they want to try to make this all about abortion. We heard a lot about abortion last night, the Party of Joy. I told you that there were people dressed as the abortion pill outside in the streets dancing. Okay, because that's not weird. Apparently I'm weird because I'm a Republican. I'm weird, and Republicans are weird. But if you dress up as Mephistopheles, whatever it is, the abortion pill, and you dance in the streets, not weird. All right, just so you know. Andy Beshear, the governor of Kentucky, said this horrible thing today where he wishes a member of J.D. Vance's family would become pregnant due to rape. All right? Now, I'm going to play you the clip. And just before you hear this clip, we'll cue up cut 24. I want you to think about this now. Beshear is one of the guys who was originally on the short list. He's governor of Kentucky. Kentucky is one of those weird states where you have two Republican U.S. senators. Well, one and a half because you got Mitch McConnell. But you got Rand Paul. And then for governor, they wind up electing a Democrat governor. It's a bizarre, bizarre state in that sense. But that's kind of how Kentucky's always been. Beshear was thought to be on the short list. And you think a guy who's politically astute enough would not wish this on J.D. Vance. This has become a big deal. But I'll play you another clip of when the governor actually doubles down on his comments, hoping that a member of J.D. Vance's family becomes pregnant due to rape. All right, so let's start with cut 24.
I mean, think about what some people have had to go through because of these laws. I mean, J.D. Vance calls pregnancy resulting from rape inconvenient. Like, inconvenience is traffic. I mean, it is. Make him go through this.
Make him go through this, okay? So J.D. Vance tweeted out, "What the hell? The governor of Kentucky wants a member of my family to get pregnant through rape?" And he's doubling down on this because the Democrats know the only chance they have, they believe, is to make abortion everything. I'm telling you it's not the issue they think it is. I've told you that before. The mom from Philadelphia who was on TV crying, saying that inflation is killing us, they're literally killing us, that mom, that the economy matters way more to her than whether or not somebody can get an abortion, which they can get in Pennsylvania, and they will be able to get if Trump is president. Because Trump is not looking to impose a national abortion ban. And they know that. And people are smarter than Democrats give them credit for it. But the Democrats are doubling down on this because it's the only issue they have. And that's the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria. VeneriaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. VANARIA. VeneriaDental.com. 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020. Here's Beshear doubling down. Cut 27.
What you said this morning on Morning Joe.
Okay.
I'm going to just prepare you for this. Saying that let me take a look at what he said about you.
J.D. Vance calls pregnancy resulting from rape inconvenient. Like, inconvenience is traffic. I mean, it is, make him go through this.
So what he's saying is that you were somehow suggesting, he said, what the hell is this? Why is Andy Beshear, he tweeted this out, wishing that a member of my family would get raped. What a disgusting person. So how do you respond to that? I mean,
well,
is that what you were talking about?
Of course not. It's ridiculous, but it's also deflection. I mean, J.D. Vance knows that he and Donald Trump are so wrong on this issue, and so he's trying to make himself the victim. Listen, Hadley Duvall was a victim. The women that were on the stage last night, the couple that had to go through a non-viable pregnancy, are victims. You know, as a man, J.D. Vance will never have to face any of this personally, but it's sad that he lacks the empathy to be able to put himself in a different position and to understand why having exceptions, having reproductive freedom is so important in the first place. Obviously, I'd never wish harm on anyone, and it just, again, deflection, trying to make himself and Donald Trump the victims.
Make him go through this. That's what you said, Governor. Make him go through this. That's what you said. And now he's playing the victim card? Really? That's called gaslighting, by the way. You heard something with your own ears. And again, just in case you didn't hear it the first time, I'll play it again for you. This is the original comment, cut 24.
I mean, think about what some people have had to go through because of these laws. I mean, J.D. Vance calls pregnancy resulting from rape inconvenient. Like, inconvenience is traffic. I mean, it is. Make him go through this.
Make him go through this. Make him go through this. And by the way, just so you know, here at the Democrat National Convention in Chicago, there are a lot of walls and fences. And it's weird because I thought walls don't work. And I thought they were racist. And yet they're here. There's a lot of them. You have to go through multiple security layers, and there's lots and lots of fencing. Some of the protesters try to tear some of that fencing down. Well, even CNN now has to concede how many walls have been built outside of the Democrats' own convention. So I guess you got to ask yourself this question. I thought we were told walls don't work. I thought we were told walls are racist. Cut 22.
And a half away from where the breach happened, Kate, and what you can see is down the street here, they're adding an extra layer of fencing. So now, instead of two layers of fence, there is three layers. And this is, just an example of the way that law enforcement is trying to fortify this area after the breach. And a couple other things that we're seeing, the fence that's different this morning, is these bolts here that are securing these in place. And then, in addition, this extra layer here, Kate, it stopped at the top of this panel. And then what we saw this morning is this extra panel going up. And what protesters were able to do, Kate, is they sort of got together and they came from the bottom. And
see that? See, walls, it's weird. It's awkward. I have an awkward feeling in my body right now because I was told that walls don't work and that they were racist. And yet there's lots and lots of them here. Do you know that some Democrats who were vulnerable are skipping the DNC? Like, for example, Senator John Tester of Montana. Not coming. Doesn't want to be around the crazy. And he's not endorsing Kamala Harris. This tells you everything you need to know. All right? It tells you everything you need to know. Remember, I've always said to you that when you look at politics like a sporting contest, of which I know nothing about sports, but if you look at it a bit like sports, and you think to yourself about the players in the game, a lot of the players in the game are secondary positions in this election. We're all focused on Trump versus Harris, but there's a lot of other seats that are up this year. And every single person in the House of Representatives, every single House seat is up for election this year. And there's a lot of senators up. So look at that, how that plays out. And then ask yourself how those people are all doing. So Senator John Tester of Montana appears to have fallen behind his opponent, Republican challenger Tim Sheehy, in the latest polls. And the senator's refusal to endorse Kamala Harris or attend the DNC appear to be calculated moves to try and save his seat. In the three most recent polls conducted between June 29th and August 12th, the Republican, Sheehy, appears to be leading by a comfortable margin. He's up 5 in the latest Rasmussen poll, up 2 in the latest poll from Emerson, and up 6 in a poll taken by KULR-TV. The Real Clear Politics average has him sitting at about 4.5 ahead of the Democrat incumbent Senator John Tester of Montana. Don't forget something. John Fetterman's not here either. You know, John Fetterperson refuses to come. He also won't come on my show for some reason, but he's also not here. Now, Fetterman knows that the crazy at the DNC does not play well with the voters back home. Tester knows this in Montana as well. And the latest polls show the three-term senator could be heading for defeat. So what is he doing? He has refused to endorse Harris, NPR reported, and claimed he won't be attending the DNC because it's harvest time and he'll be busy on his farm. Okay? U.S. Senator John Tester is not coming here because he's going to be tilling the fields, working the farm. Now, last time I checked, you can till the fields, work the farm. You can come for Thursday. You could fly in. I mean, how far is the flight from Montana to Chicago? What is it? What is that, like an hour flight? What, you just jump on a flight on Thursday? You're a U.S. senator. You got the money. Come back. Stay. You don't have to spend the night. Come and leave the next day. Spend one night. Spend one night in the DNC. Be there for your party's nominee as she takes the official nomination and gives her big speech on Thursday. I'm even working Friday. Just to show you how tortured I am this week. I was originally going to take Friday off, and Opelka was going to host the show. But I told Greg this morning, I emailed Stocker, and I said, you know, I'm going to do the show on Friday because I want to be able to analyze and break down Kamala Harris' speech for you on Friday. Even though it's summer and we're leaving on vacation, I still want to be here on Friday. My point is, you're a U.S. senator. If I'm working on a Friday, you can work on a Friday. And don't give me this whole idea that you're tilling the fields. Stop. Stop. You can't have somebody else do the plowing while you come to Montana or you come to Chicago for your party's nominee. Is that really what you're telling me? Stop it already. The truth is that he's also, by the way, too busy for interviews. Right. Tester told NPR and some other outlets he's too busy to do interviews. And he's taking the Kamala Harris tactic of not speaking to the media or releasing policy proposals so they can't be derided. He's not the only one. There are other vulnerable House Democrats who were also skipping the DNC. Everybody was at the RNC. Every prominent Republican, even the ones that lost to Donald Trump, like Nikki Haley, were at the RNC. Everybody was there. There wasn't a Republican running who was not there. They were all there in support of President Trump. But this shows you the problem the Democrats have always had, which is that you have a large portion of their base, which is freaking crazy. And that portion of their base that is freaking crazy, they want to try to stay far, far away from as they're running for election right now. They would want to stay far, far away from it because they're worried about the backlash that's going to ensue on them back home in places like Montana, where you have voters who look at the crazy of the modern Democrat Party and they think to themselves, I don't know if I can support this anymore. So the best strategy guys like Tester or Fetterman or these other Democrats have is to say, whoa, I got nothing to do with this crazy. All right. It's like they're just my family members. I don't really have anything to do with them. But voters see through it. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. If you'd like to weigh in today as we continue live from the Democrat National Convention. You know, speaking of Mama Zeoli, we've talked a lot about her. You heard her calls yesterday, her very, very frantic and nervous phone calls about her son's safety. Well, one of the greatest finds of Mama Zeoli has been our family dentist, Dr. Mike Veneria. And you know, my whole family goes to him. Bridget has a beautiful new smile, courtesy of Dr. Mike Veneria. She and her veneers replaced, and she has beautiful new caps now. Her smile is even more beautiful. If you've been putting off seeing a dentist or getting that complex dental procedure done, I don't want to sound like Mama Zeoli here, but what are you waiting for, baby? You need your smile to be healthy, baby. So make your appointment today. 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020. Or visit VeneriaDental.com. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. He's so good that he's been named a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. That's right, 10 consecutive years. And he's one of the most respected reputations among his peers as a master of dental implants. So if you've been putting off that complex dental procedure, or you want to get a second opinion because you already had maybe an estimate for veneers or, excuse me, implants or any other dental work for that matter, reach out to Dr. Mike today. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, VeneriaDental.com, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
No, actually, my fellow broadcasters have noticed how loud I am. And I don't mean to be. I just am high energy. So they've asked me at least to tone it down when they do an interview with Governor, former Michigan Governor Granholm, who I'd love to have come on my show. If Secretary Granholm wants to come on my show, she's more than welcome to. Just saying. I'd love to have her. Talk about gas prices in PA. But in the meantime, they've asked me if I can do my NPR voice. Which is a great time for me to talk about how Chicago pizza is not real pizza. And the reason why is because it's a bready, cheesy, saucy disaster of a pizza, not pizza, identifying as a pizza. This is not easy for me, by the way.
The ultimate irony is that even your NPR voice is kind of high on the levels are really popping here.
These other broadcasters, they all have this, like, you know, very, like, I'll try that.
Well, so tell us the strategy of destroying America from within by using communism and teaching it to our children and how effective that is by indoctrinating them in schools.
I'll do this. I'll go to a caller because callers can be more civil than I can. Let's go to Larry. Patty's in Philly. This isn't Prohibition Patty, is it? Because I have no tolerance right now for anyone lecturing me on drinking. Hi, Patty.
No, it's not.
Okay, good.
Hi, Rich.
But you know, Patty,
show.
I need an IV of bourbon right now in my arms, in my veins.
I'm sorry, I can't help you. I'm driving.
I appreciate that.
My question is, they keep urging Pennsylvanians, it seems, to get their vote in early and with a mail-in ballot instead of waiting for Election Day. Is there an advantage to that? And
yeah.
What is it?
Yeah, I think my friend Linda Kern said that if we can get our ballots in early, that'll help them with the organization because they're going to try to go after voters who have not gotten their ballots in. So if you get it in early, it saves them the trouble of having to knock on your door or call you so they can focus on other people. That's the answer that I got.
Okay.
So, and they don't want you to wait till Election Day because something could come to chance and, you know, you can't, you know, if you're get a flat tire or something like that, they want you to try to get it in ahead of time. So
okay, right. I wanted to see, you know, what makes, if that made sense. I mean, I'm always somebody who's voting in person and it feels unnatural to mail it in.
I hear you. I know. I'm with you. It does. I'm the same way, and yet I'm also guilty of almost getting late to the polls. Last time I voted, I got there at 7:56, and the polling place closed at 8. So I understand their point about they want people to vote early so that they can know, so that they can target voters who haven't voted, and they have this whole operation in place, and I'm being told that their lawyers are all over it. It's going to be secure. That's the message that I got. And I believe them because I think they're working very, very hard on this. And I do know that they're much more organized this year than they were in 2020 because, let's face it, in 2020, a lot of this was a huge surprise to us. So,
yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Well, thank
Patty, you. Patty, thank you for calling and for being able to listen to the show and to keep me from yelling for 5 seconds and to have a nice normal.
You quieted your voice down quite a bit.
I did so good, and I should get some red. Okay, sorry. You're right. Okay, Patty, thank you. God bless you for calling. I'm trying.
You know, you ruin it when you just start screaming randomly.
I don't mean to. I'm trying.
You're doing so well.
I'm doing so well.
You had a nice streak going, and then all of a sudden it just bubbles over.
They're going to have to put a muzzle on me. Like, you know, they do the dogs who had surgery, and they put those things on their head, like cones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or a muzzle for a dog that bites, but you can still growl in a muzzle. And I can growl. I can growl like the best of them. Like, I'll growl at ground home for wanting to...
I'm sort of torn.
Yeah.
So, on the one hand, I do think that if you keep screaming, we're going to get kicked out.
Good.
But...
Well, then why am I quieting my voice?
Well, it'll be very embarrassing. But
no,
on the
not.
Other...
How cool would that be if we got kicked out of the
NC? No, I don't want to get kicked out. People will look.
Great.
But on the bright side, we would get to go home a few days early.
Exactly.
That would be nice.
I would get viral if I got kicked out.
The nice thing is that the exit is right near us.
It's right there.
Yeah, if they kick us out, like, we're going to be humiliated, but it won't be for a very long...
You may be humiliated, DeSantis. I won't be. I'll wear it as a...
Volume, Rich.
I'll wear it as
NPR voices. NPR voices.
Let me explain. If I get kicked down here, and there's a good chance I'll go viral and be national and huge, and then Mama Zioli can finally stop saying that I'm not as successful as Sean Hannity because he has bodyguards and I don't. We're now going to turn our focus over to what makes a Chicago hot dog a hot dog. And we're going to have local experts come on and talk to us about the Chicago hot dog, the origins of it. You're listening to National Public Radio. My God, if I had to do that every day, I'd kill myself. I would.
I thought it was very
peaceful. Two
bullets
to my head.
I was enjoying it.
Two bullets to the back of my head, a.k.a. Clinton status, how they get rid of their people. Am I right? Two bullets to the back of the head, suicide style, right? Right?
No.
No one?
No, we don't. That's not our stance.
Right, let me go to Larry. Larry is, I took my glasses off. Larry, where are you calling from? How you doing, buddy? What's up?
I need you to start some kind of a competition for yard signs, like original ones, not just Trump Pence or Trump, you know, the good ones. You know, and we can change them every day, like the media parrots. The same thing every day. We can go out in our yard and change our yard sign to say, you know, something every day. But something good. I think that would be a good idea.
You got some good ones for me?
No, that's the thing. I'm you know, just a few, you know, don't be fooled and all this stuff. But I need ideas. I drive, you know, my house. I live on a corner lot, and I got 3 signs up. But I need something different. I need something more original, and you got to put all your listeners out there and come up with some good ones every day.
Well, you know, I like this idea. I would start with whatever the theme of the week is. I would do a new sign, at least for the week, and you could do something
on. That's what
I'm saying.
Yeah, that would be great.
Or you could do today's theme. So today's theme was crime. Like Kamala Harris loves criminals. Like you could put that sign up. Kamala loves criminals. Boom. There you go.
That's great. I mean, that's the kind of thing I'm thinking about.
All right. Tomorrow you could say price gouging leads to food shortages. You could put that sign up.
There we
price
go.
Gouging laws lead to food shortages.
You price gouging.
Price gouging. Yes, price gouging. Right. I stand corrected. But I like you. I listen, brother. I appreciate your enthusiasm because we got to do this, Larry. And you're in Hatboro.
Yeah, we do.
So.
Yes. And
all
we
right,
got
buddy.
To put them. Okay. Have a good.
You too. I like your enthusiasm a lot. All right. So, our buddy Tommy, I won't say his last name, he suggested that I need to speak from the lower register and just break a whisper. Like sweaty balls, the balls.
What is
the, that? That was from Saturday Night Live when they had the.
Right.
They were, I think, meatballs.
You have
or
to dump
were...
that. I don't even know.
No. They were. It's a food item, like balls of meat or balls of cheese.
All right, I'll trust you.
For example, it's like this. Last night, Matt DeSantis and I went to dinner, and we ordered cheese curds, and they brought us cheese curds. And what was surprising, what was not in the cheese curds, and that is cheese. No, it's actually
true. Actually true.
And they had all these fried. You know, and I put one in my mouth, and I said, there's something else that should be in this fried piece of dough, and it should be cheese, hence the cheese curd. And there was no cheese. It was just literally air. So the thing about a cheese curd is it has to have, what's the word for it? Cheese. Cheese. We're going to do a whole segment on what really makes a cheese curd. Surprising, it's not cheese. That's right.
Yeah, I'm not a chef, but...
Yeah, I called the guy over and I said, I had my whole plate. I literally started just cracking them open like a joke, like a peanut, you know, and there's no nuts in the shell. And I had the whole shells. I had all these curd shells, and the guy comes over. I go, excuse me. I go, take a look at this plate. I go, what is this? Guy goes, that's cheese curds, sir. I said, What do you see when you look down on this plate? He goes, I see a lot of curds. I go, exactly. What do you not see when you look at this plate? He said, cheese. I said, bingo! That's right. You don't see any cheese. But the key is, it's not a cheese curd if it doesn't have freaking cheese. All right. Let me go to Ted in Swarthmore so that I can be calm here. Ted! Help, Ted.
Hey.
Hello, Ted.
Hey, Rich. Just breathe. Breathe, Rich. hey, if you want us all to vote early.
I got cheeseless curds. I'm surrounded by curd. Fake pizza and Democrats, okay? This is not easy for
man,
me. And there's no alcohol here.
I'll tell you, you take a lot for our team. A lot, buddy.
Thank you.
That allows me to go to work. That allows me to go to work the rest of the week because you're there. Thank you. Hey, if you want me to vote early, I can't do it. I have to go to the polls just to antagonize the greeters from the Democratic side at the polls. I've gone there. I took my twin daughters. Okay, I went, voted. And the nice lady from the Republican side said, oh, you're here early tonight. I said, yeah, early. And I think this year I'm going to be early and often. And I got a snide look. And then I went home and found one of my twins who hadn't gone yet. And I said, let's go. We're going to go vote. So I drove up. The two of us walked up. And the lady looked at me. And I said, yep, early and often. I went home. And the other twin was there. And I brought her back. And I said, yep, third time's a charm. Early and often. Here I am.
I
won't have fun on that day.
Listen, I get your enthusiasm, buddy. You got to do you. I mean, if that's what makes you happy on election day, I'm not going to deprive you of that.
I thought my commander-in-chief, Rich, was telling me that I had to mail it in. I couldn't do it. I can't do it, bud.
Listen, I'm never here to tell you what to do. The question was, what is the advice from the campaign, from the RNC, and why do they want us to get the ballots in early? But I'm not here to tell you what to do, Ted. I won't deprive you of that fun. You know what I mean?
Oh, thanks. I thought something changed because you were in Chicago, surrounded by the enemy. I was just making sure you were all right.
I'm getting more libertarian by the second. I'm on the verge of becoming an anarchist at this point. So that's where things stand.
And once again, Matt, keep looking at him, Matt. Blink twice, Rich, if you need help.
Thanks, Ted. Always a pleasure, buddy. I appreciate it. Leslie's in Bryn Mawr. Leslie, hello.
Hello. Oh, my goodness. I am praying for you guys.
Thank you. We need the prayers.
Yeah,
there is a. By the way, you know what's funny about that? There's a gender neutral prayer room here at the DNC.
Oh my gosh!
I'm not even exaggerating.
I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you, how are the bathrooms? Like, are they gender-neutral bathrooms, or is there a safe bathroom point. For conservatives?
Yeah. We don't want to identify ourselves as conservative here. We're trying to be low profile. I have not ventured into the main hall because we're often here in a media side area. And I do have two restrooms. Both are gender neutral. I don't know about what they've done with the, because we're at the United Center. So it's a big sports. Who plays here anyway, DeSantis?
The Bulls.
The Bulls. So the Bulls, the Chicago Bulls play here.
We walked past a giant Michael Jordan statue in order to get here both days.
Oh, right. Yeah.
An enormous Michael Jordan statue that you couldn't have possibly missed.
That's who that was?
Yeah.
Have you been over to the main hall?
Well, it's right out there. I have not. But
it's right next to us. Yeah,
it's right next to us. I'm going to walk out there after the show today, and I'll take a look at the bathrooms, what they've done with the men's and the ladies.
Well, I don't care that much about the bathrooms. Okay. We're just trying to...
it's a good question.
But
I'm going to go in the gender-neutral prayer room after the show and pray that this convention ends early and I can go home.
Well, what really is the vibe there? Is it tense because of what's going on outside?
No, because you don't see the protesters. They're so far away from here. It's not tense at all, actually. There's a sense, I would say, of overconfidence. And I think to Axelrod's point in the clip I played earlier, I think Democrats are very overconfident. They think they've changed out Biden and this is a home run for them. That's the sense I get. I think it's the sense he gets, too. And that's going to work to our advantage, I think.
So how about going out to eat? Is, are there protesters in the areas that you're going, to eat or watch?
Not really. They have all the whack jobs down in a park, right, Matt? It's a park in this kind of about a couple miles from...
Yeah, we're not anywhere near
it. Nowhere near. They have fencing around that park, though, and that's the fencing that they were taking down. Some protesters did breach the outer perimeter, but now they have them so far away from here. Please, the Party of Democracy, they don't want any of their protesters anywhere near them. They could have set up protest zones, you know what I mean? But no, they're so far away because they're hypocrites, you know what I mean? And
well,
the rioters and
them.
The looters will be coming out at night, I'm sure, but they're going to be nowhere near where anyone of any notoriety is staying. So,
uh-huh.
But
well,
thank you for the call, Leslie. I lost Leslie. Leslie, thank you. Sorry, I think you dropped there. I appreciate it, and thank you for your prayers. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Now, look, I think that the point that Axelrod's making about the Democrats being overly confident is important to note. So I was doing some research of my own last night, as I always do, as we're always prepping for this show. And we were looking at some of the polls that have been coming out and some of the polling data. And if you look at the... So Nate Silver is a guy who started 538, and you look at the polling data and you try to figure out. Right now, Kamala Harris has, according to their site, a lead, but it's a national lead, and national leads mean nothing. Hillary Clinton had that same national lead. In fact, the polls right now are very reflective of 2016, in my opinion, for two reasons. Number one, you have the shy Trump voter effect. Trump voters who are not talking to pollsters. Number two, you have every Democrat is rushing to talk to a pollster as they possibly can. So those two factors are kicking in a big, big way. And there's something else, too. And that is that if the polls showing Kamala Harris winning are accurate, then why was this person on the stage last night? And this person was on the stage last night as the crowd erupted into chants of lock him up during her speech, because this person had a 99.99% chance of winning the election. And of course, I'm talking about Hillary Clinton. So Hillary Clinton comes on the stage last night and gets a 2-minute standing ovation. The crowd chants, lock him up, because this is the Party of Democracy, and they love their weaponized Justice Department. Here's from last night a little bit of that, cut number four.
Donald Trump fell asleep at his own trial. And when he woke up, he made his own kind of history. The first person to run for president with 34 felony convictions.
It's a party of joy. It's joyful. Isn't this joyful?
As vice president,
Lock him up.
Kamala sat in the Situation Room.
Yeah. Not give up. You know, you would think the party that... The party that decried the chance of lock her up would not be chanting lock him up. But this is the thing. Trump didn't lock her up. He didn't pursue charges against her. He wound up not. And he made the point of saying that over and over again and saying he was not going to use the Justice Department against Hillary Clinton. And this crowd, though, is so eager to see him locked up. But it shows you who they really are. They love their weaponized Department of Justice. One point about Axelrod, which I think is worth noting. A lot of people have been pointing out the fact that Axelrod most likely has internal polling data. Internal polls are often much more accurate than the polls that are done by these various polling outlets and polling institutes. And there's a reason for that. Internal polling is very expensive. And pollsters are hired to give the campaigns advice that they don't want to go public on message and things like that. Internal polls tend to be much more accurate, reflective, super expensive. This is how Kellyanne Conway made her bones. She was a pollster. She did internal polling. Way more accurate, because the whole purpose of an internal poll is to help the campaign drive message. If they come back with their internal poll, and so they want it to be accurate, they need it to be accurate. This is only for the campaign. They're not trying to show anybody something else. You take, say a New York Times Emerson poll. Well, they want to show that the Democrats have an advantage. Or Monmouth University polling with that fraud Patrick Murray, who showed that King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal rugness, had a 12-point lead over Jack Cittarelli. That was done to keep Republicans from coming out to vote. That was done so that they thought they had it so in the bag, and then 400,000 Republicans stayed home. But internal polls are different. Internal polls are there to help the campaign. So they ascertain how the messages are working, what demographics they need to work on, how are we doing with black voters, Hispanic voters, women voters? Does our message work on crime, on the economy, on immigration? Axelrod has probably seen those polls since the Obama bros were behind the shivving of Joe Biden to get him out of the race. And let's face it, the godfather himself, the Chicago mob boss, Barack Obama, is in charge of this whole operation. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zioli, if you'd like to weigh in. I'm telling you, we're going to be happy. We're so happy, but we're going to be happier when we are live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. I'm excited to be there coming up for our next live show on Friday, September 6th. And if you want to be happy, you should make your plans now. Because, look, we love summer, but it's coming to an end. But don't worry about that. Best time of year to be there. One of the best times of year is the fall. Crowds are gone. The weather is still beautiful. You have those crisp, beautiful nights and warm days. And Cape May is beautiful in the fall. The Grand Hotel of Cape May is my happy place. We're going to be back there Friday, September 6th for our next live show. The Grand offers special midweek packages for you. Say two nights, save 10%. Stay three nights, get 10% off and $55 a night in resort credits. Stay five nights, get 10% off and $65 a night in resort credits that can be used at Hemingway's Restaurant for food and drinks or at the gift shop. You can take your family on a whale-watching vacation before the Democrats kill all the whales with their windmills. The Grand offers guest rooms, suites, and townhomes equipped with a kitchenette, and they have two huge heated pools, one outdoor and one indoor. I'm telling you, the Grand Hotel of Cape May is my happy place. You will not be disappointed. Book directly with them for the best rates by calling 800-257-8550 or visit them online at grandhotelcapemay.com. In fact, they have wonderful places for all kinds of events, baby showers, bridal parties, weddings, beachfront weddings. You make your dreams come true. And they even have a way to make sure that no dead whales wash up on the beach because of Democrats' policies towards windmills. They have a way to ensure that so that won't happen during your wedding. Isn't that nice? Absolutely. Join us on Friday, September 6th for our next live show at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. GrandHotelCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So glad you're here today joining us as we are live at the DNC, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zioli. Amelia is in South Philly. God, I would love some food from South Philly right about now. Hi, Amelia.
Rich Zioli, number one, I love you. I love your program, and I feel so sorry that you're raising three beautiful children in this insanity. I can't believe that anyone, regardless of their politics, could watch what has gone on these 3.5 years and would put our country in the hands of these maniacs again. I can't even fathom the Trump not winning. But that all being said, the hypocrisy, when you talked about those walls that they were knocking down and, oh, but the law enforcement came and they made everything right. These are all the police defunders.
Yep.
They are hypocrites. You said it earlier, and I heard that guy. He wants ideas for signs.
Yes.
You know, like in Sesame Street, like G is for gargle. Harris is for hypocrisy. Harris is for hypocrisy. You like that?
We could do another every day, a new letter of how she could destroy this country.
Oh,
like
A
is for
idea.
Asylum. Yeah, A is for asylum. What could B be? What could B be for? We'll just do every day.
Banish supporter. Banish supporter.
Just every day you could have a new letter of the alphabet. Well, I think you're onto something here, Amelia. It's a Sesame Street political approach.
See, I'm a kindergarten teacher. I won't watch a minute of this craziness, but my husband keeps putting it on. I said, I don't want to give them right. They look like a bunch of people, like, you know, in Charlie Brown, when they go wonk, wonk, wonk. That's what it looked like to me, that when they're trying to talk. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
I got a question for you.
Not a...
Would you buy America for a dollar if it was sold?
I put all the people that I want to run it, to take care of it?
Well, yeah, you could own it for a dollar. Because, you know, AOC's big plan is that she thinks Trump would sell America for a dollar. Has she never played Monopoly? I don't even think you buy, like, one of the Shin God properties of Monopoly for a dollar. You know what
I mean? Guess what else? I know you have Trump's ear. You helped him with the debates last time and all that stuff. You have to impart to him. He can't get mad about the craziness, the name-calling. He's so genuine and dear. He's got to stick to the issues and the wonderfulness of him. He has to pretend that she's invisible. What she says, he doesn't hear. Just stick to who he is, because he's got a big mouth. But you know what, Rizzioli? I'd rather deal with a big mouth, because you know exactly where they're coming from. These little silent people have the machete in their pocket, and when you turn around, they're going to kill you. I want. Oh God,
so graphic. I love it. I love it. You're capturing my inner horror. Amelia, thank you, my dear. I appreciate the kind words. Good luck this year teaching, okay?
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Thank you so much, Amelia. 855-839-12. That's funny. That's Jesus. If I let her kept going, she'd be like, blood would come out. She'd start pulling a Mama Zioli. And people would be, they'd kill you, baby. And you'd be dead and your liver would fall out and it would go to the floor, but it's corroded anyway. Let's be honest. And then they'd find out how useful it'd be, like a brick at this point. You could use it as a weapon. AOC claims Trump doesn't love America. He would sell this country. Now, we play Monopoly with my son Patrick all the time. Me and Bridget play with him. We love the game Monopoly. The challenge, and I'll tell you right now what the challenge is. So my 4-year-old Reagan, who should be on the terror watch list, as you know, I think she is on the terror watch list. Actually, when I flew out of Philly the other day, there's her face. She's under the Quiet Skies program. It's Tulsi Gabbard and Reagan, the two of them next to each other, right there. And so she comes over and she grabs the houses and she runs away. So we'll have houses on the Monopoly and she'll just grab them and then just disappear. So we can't play Monopoly when she's up. So we have to wait till she goes to bed. So it takes us a week to play the game because we can only play at night. It's like a vampire, you know what I mean? But the opposite. So I know for a fact that I think the cheapest property you can buy in Monopoly is some, it's like, what is it? Like
Baltic.
How much does Baltic go for?
$60.
$60. However, AOC has apparently never played Monopoly before. This is her brilliant claim last night at the Democrat National Convention. This is who the crazy is. Cut number 5.
Because we know that Donald Trump would sell this country for a dollar if it meant lining his own pockets and greasing the palms of his Wall Street friends. And I, for one, am tired of hearing about how a two-bit union buster thinks of himself as more of a patriot than the woman who fights every single day to lift working people out from under the boots of greed, trampling on our way of life.
When did yelling become a thing?
The truth is, Don, you cannot love this country if you only fight for the wealthy and big business.
Fake accents and yelling.
To love this country is to fight for its people. All people.
Don't yell at me. I'm just doing Kamala Harris.
Everyday Americans like bartenders and factory workers and fast food cashiers.
Yes.
Who punch a clock and are on their feet all day in some of the toughest jobs out there.
If you yell, it makes it true. If you yell and just scream, you sound so much more reasonable. That's, I guess, the key to victory right there. Joe, I got a quick minute here to our guest. What do you got to say, buddy?
Rich, how you doing, brother?
What's up, Joe?
I just wanted to say, last night I could have swore I heard the Democrats chanting, "Let's go, Brandon," when Joe was on the stage.
They might have been, right?
Is that true? No, it sounds like that to me.
I think we're going to go back. We'll go to the videotape and check it out, all right? Joe, you break it up, but thanks for the call, brother. I appreciate it very much. Have a great day. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. We're coming back. We got Trump's attorney, Alina Haber, coming on the show. I'm excited to have that chat. Congressman Byron Donalds later on. We're just getting warmed up, baby. We're getting warmed up. Don't go away. We got 30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead for you. Coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So glad you're here today joining us as we are live at the DNC. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Amelia is in South Philly. God, I would love some food from South Philly right about now. Hi, Amelia.
Rich Zeoli, number one, I love you. I love your program. And I feel so sorry that you're raising three beautiful children in this insanity. I can't believe that anyone, regardless of their politics, could watch what has gone on these 3.5 years and would put our country in the hands of these maniacs again. I can't even fathom the Trump not winning. But that all being said, the hypocrisy, when you talked about those walls that they were knocking down and, oh, but the law enforcement came and they made everything right. These are all the police defunders.
Yep.
They are hypocrites. You said it earlier, and I heard that guy. He wants ideas for signs.
Yes.
You know, like in Sesame Street, like G is for gargle. Harris is for hypocrisy. Harris is for hypocrisy. You like that?
We could do another every day, a new letter of how she could destroy this country.
Oh,
like
A
is for
idea.
Asylum. Yeah, A is for asylum. What could B be? What could B be for? Just do every day.
Banish the border. Just
every day you could have a new letter of the alphabet. Well, I think you're onto something here, Amelia. It's a Sesame Street political approach.
See, I'm a kindergarten teacher. I won't watch a minute of this craziness, but my husband keeps putting it on. I said, I don't want to give them right. They look like a bunch of people, like, you know, in Charlie Brown, when they go wonk, wonk, wonk. That's what it looked like to me, that when they're trying to talk. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
I got a question for
you.
Would you buy America for a dollar if it was sold?
I put all the people that I want to run it, to take care of it?
Well, yeah, you could own it for a dollar. Because, you know, AOC's big plan is that she thinks Trump would sell America for a dollar. Has she never played Monopoly? Oh, I don't even think you buy, like, one of the Shin God properties of Monopoly for a dollar. You know what I mean?
Guess what else? I know you have Trump's ear. You helped him with the debates last time and all that stuff. You have to impart to him. He can't get mad about the craziness, the name-calling. He's so genuine and dear. He's got to stick to the issues and the wonderfulness of him. He has to pretend that she's invisible. What she says, he doesn't hear. Just stick to who he is, because he's got a big mouth. But you know what, Rizzioli? I'd rather deal with a big mouth because you know exactly where they're coming from. These little silent people have the machete in their pocket, and when you turn around, they're going to kill you. I want.
Oh God, so I'm graphic. Sorry. I love it. You're capturing my inner horror. Amelia, thank you, my dear. I appreciate the kind words. Good luck this year teaching, okay?
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Thank you so much, Amelia. 855-839-1210. That's funny. That's Jesus. If I let her kept going, she'd be like, blood would come out. She'd start pulling a Mama Zioli. And people would be, they'd kill you, baby, and you'd be dead, and your liver would fall out, and it would go to the floor, but it's corroded anyway. Let's be honest, and then they'd find out how it'd be like a brick at this point. You could use it as a weapon. AOC claims Trump doesn't love America. He would sell this country. Now, we play Monopoly with my son Patrick all the time. Me and Bridget play with him. We love the game Monopoly. The challenge, and I'll tell you right now what the challenge is. So my 4-year-old Reagan, who should be on the terror watch list, as you know, I think she is on the terror watch list. Actually, when I flew out of Philly the other day, there's her face. She's under the Quiet Skies program. It's Tulsi Gabbard and Reagan, the two of them next to each other, right there. And so she comes over and she grabs the houses and she runs. And she runs away. So we'll have houses on the Monopoly and she'll just grab them and then just disappear. So we can't play Monopoly when she's up. So we have to wait till she goes to bed. So it takes us a week to play the game because we can only play at night. It's like a vampire, you know what I mean? But the opposite. So I know for a fact that I think the cheapest property you can buy in Monopoly is some, it's like, what is it? Like
Baltic.
How much does Baltic go for?
$60.
$60. However, AOC has apparently never played Monopoly before. This is her brilliant claim last night at the Democrat National Convention. This is who the crazy is. Cut number 5.
Because we know that Donald Trump would sell this country for a dollar if it meant lining his own pockets and greasing the palms of his Wall Street friends. And I, for one, am tired of hearing about how a two-bit union buster thinks of himself as more of a patriot than the woman who fights every single day to lift working people out from under the boots of greed, trampling on our way of life.
When did yelling become a thing?
The truth is, Don, you cannot love this country if you only fight for the wealthy and big business.
Fake accents
to
and yelling.
Love this country is to fight for its people. All people.
Don't yell at me. I'm just doing
Kamala Harris. Americans like bartenders and factory workers and fast food cashiers.
Yes.
Punch a clock and are on their feet all day in some of the toughest jobs out there.
If you yell, it makes it true. If you yell and just scream, you sound so much more reasonable. That's, I guess, the key to victory right there. Joe, I got a quick minute here. We tell our guests. What do you got to say, buddy?
Rich, how you doing, brother?
What's up, Joe?
I just wanted to say, last night I could have swore I heard the Democrats chanting, "Let's go, Brandon," when Joe was on the stage.
They might have been, right?
Is that true? No, it sounds like that to me.
I think we're going to go back. We'll go to the videotape and check it out, all right? Joe, you break it up, but thanks for the call, brother. I appreciate it very much. Have a great day. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zioli. We're coming back. We got Trump's attorney, Alina Haber, coming on the show. I'm excited to have that chat. Congressman Byron Donalds later on. We're just getting warmed up, baby. We're getting warmed up. Don't go away. We got 30 minutes of nonstop talk straight ahead for you. Coming right back.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.